The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Back when I was in seminary, I had the extraordinary good fortune to spend a month in the Holy Land studying at a college in Jerusalem. It was a college attached to the Anglican Cathedral there in Jerusalem. And we got to see all corners of the Holy Land over the course of a month. You can see quite a bit. We had some classroom time, but mostly we were out on the road visiting. And we went to all those sacred places that the church has recognized for generations. Spots, for example, where Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, or where Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes. Now, the highlight of the trip for most of us, certainly for me, was a trip into the Sinai Desert, which is in the very northeasternmost portion of Egypt. The desert over in Sinai is not like the Sahara. It's not just miles and miles of nothing but sand. It's got sand, yes, but they're rocky mountains. It's just solid rock mountains. Well, one of those mountains is Mount Sinai, where Moses went to converse with God, where Moses went to get the Ten Commandments, among other things, and to bring down to the people. This is, of course, a very sacred spot. We got a little sleep, and at 2 a.m., we got on camels to start up the mountain. You get about two-thirds of the way up to Elijah's Plateau, and we were there around sunrise, and it was lovely. We had communion, we got some warm tea, it was very cold, and then it was time to head up the last piece, that last third of the mountain, to get to the top of Mount Sinai. And we'd been joking about how nice it would be when we get up there to be able to get something to eat at the Burning Bush Cafe. Maybe there'd be a food court, but at least the Burning Bush Cafe. We thought that would be a great name for a place to get a bite to eat at the top of Mount Sinai. Lo and behold, when we got there, there was a shack, and they were selling food. It was not a restaurant. It wasn't fancy. In fact, it was everything but fancy. But sure enough, at the top of Mount Sinai, I had a Diet Coke and a Cadbury bar. It was somewhat jarring. Now, being a shack, it didn't stick out the way a McDonald's would if they'd managed to get one of those up there. But it wasn't right. It was out of place, and it really struck you when you got to the sacred space. Now, that image always comes to mind to me when I read the scripture we read this morning. We heard John's version of it this morning, but this is one of those few stories of Jesus that are in all four Gospels. It's the story of Jesus cleansing the temple. Now, Jesus, I think, would have been, well, maybe not exactly as I was at the top of Mount Sinai, but I think Jesus would have been somewhat thrown by what was going on in the temple. Certainly his actions would say as much. He got there, and there were people buying and selling. And it would have been crowded. It would have been very crowded. This was the festival of the Passover, and any Jew within 15 miles was required by Jewish law to go to Jerusalem to keep the Passover. And every Jew anywhere in the world, and by now the diaspora had already expanded, the Jews were all over the world, every Jew anywhere in the world wants to spend Passover in Jerusalem. In fact, it's how a good Jewish Seder ends, with the words, next year in Jerusalem. So this place was packed. This place was packed. Now, any Jew over the age of 19 had to pay a temple tax. It was about a day and a half's wages to pay this tax. But you couldn't pay it in the money you brought with you, because most likely the money you brought with you was Roman coins. They had the image of the emperor on it, and they were absolutely unacceptable to pay your temple tax. You had to arrange to get what would be ritually clean coins. And you know who you got those from? You got them from the money changers. We all know about the money changers. These would be coins that would be acceptable as offerings to God. The other coins you could use for ordinary debts, but you could not offer the other coins to God. Now then we get to the animals. They're buying and selling animals. Well, these animals were sold for a specific reason. They were there so that people could make sacrifices. Exodus 12, which tells the story of the original Passover, it was the 10th plague, the killing of the firstborn, and when the Spirit moved through Egypt, the Spirit passed over the homes of all the Jews and spared their children. So this is what they remember every year to this day. Well, in the original story, as God is describing the way this feast is to be held, he says, among other things, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year-old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats." So these were particular individual animals. If you were of the higher social status, this was absolutely required. If you were poorer, you might be able to get away with giving a dove, and they were selling those as well. Now, anyone coming to Jerusalem from any distance would find it difficult to bring this unblemished animal with them, because it would require care along the way, watering and feeding, and it was just a hardship. So these people in the marketplace sold you what you needed. Now, where they did it was in a place called the Court of the Gentiles, but it was kind of in an area outside the temple proper. So you could buy your things on the way into the temple. It was called the Court of the Gentiles because this is where Gentiles might go to pray if they were, let's say, not converts to Judaism, but considered to be God-fearing people. They could go to the Court of Gentiles and pray. Now, there were a lot of reasons why Jesus drove these people out. He might have done it to show that the whole animal sacrifice concept was no longer relevant. So drive out the animals. He might have done it so that the Gentiles would have the opportunity to pray in the Court of the Gentiles. In fact, in Mark's gospel, in the midst of this, Jesus says, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations'?" So there might be a longing for Jesus to provide this space. Most likely, however, he did it simply because the temple, my Father's house, as he puts it, the temple was being desecrated. But in the end, whether they were doing shady business or not, the bottom line is these people were actually providing something that the Jews needed before they went in to worship. Before they went in, they purchased what they would need when they walked through the door to worship God. Now it makes me wonder what we might need when we walk through the door to worship God. What is it that we need to bring in here with us? We're not required to make animal sacrifices. We're not even required to give money. It's helpful if you all support the work of Jesus Christ here in Elkridge, but it's not required. Anyone can come and worship. What is it that you need to bring in with you? What about things like a pure heart, an amended life, a life that's turned to face God, a repentant heart, a heart dedicated to the demands of the gospel. Perhaps this is what we need to bring in with us. A motivation to serve Jesus Christ by serving the poor and the downtrodden and the homeless and the oppressed and the hungry and the sick and those in prison. The list goes on. Perhaps we need to bring with us a dedication to all of God's children, not just those who love us. What about a commitment to our baptismal vows? A commitment to repent and return to the Lord whenever we fall into sin. A commitment to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ. A commitment to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself. A commitment to strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. These words should be familiar to you. These are your baptismal covenant. Wouldn't it be great if we could just purchase all of that as we came in that door? Then we wouldn't have to worry about being responsible for it out there in the world. We wouldn't have to bring it with us. It's so burdensome to carry. Couldn't we just buy it when we get here? Wouldn't that be great? We could buy what we need to come through those doors. We wouldn't have to worry about being out in the world, loving God more than all else, loving our neighbors way more than they deserve to be loved, in our humble opinions, and to love each other as Christ has loved us. Those are the commandments that Jesus gives us. What do we bring with us? Now, those of you who've been to an Orioles game at Camden Yards know that you can bring in with you everything you might need. You can't bring alcohol, but you can bring soda, and you can bring your own bottled water, and you can bring food, you can bring your own peanuts. Everything you need, you can bring in with you. If you go to a Ravens game, on the other hand, the opposite is true. At the Ravens game, outside of the entrance, there are giant tubs for garbage. Those garbage cans are chock full with everything anyone has in their hands with them as they approach the gate. Even things like umbrellas. On a rainy day, you can't bring your umbrella in. But even more than that, all that food. It's chock full of food and soda cans and, let's face it, beer cans. It's all in those bins because you can't bring anything in with you. The idea is you can get what you need in there. And really, that's true. It may not be great. Certainly, it's expensive. But you can get all that in there. So you come in with nothing, and you find what you need inside. It'd be nice, instead of buying something on the outside of the church or the temple, we could actually know in our hearts that we can leave all our stuff outside and come in with the confidence that what we need is already here. At Raven Stadium, it is terribly expensive to get what you need when you get inside. But here in this space, we know that Jesus Christ has already paid the price. Amen.